The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, what will it mean for Ireland if a group of Galway residents who oppose the major expansion of a solar farm manage to stop it? Well, to debate this now, I'm joined by independent economist David W. Higgins and chairman of AMAS, which is the local community group which is opposed to solar farm expansion in Galway, Brendan Cronin, and you're both welcome to the show. David, I'm going to start with you on this, because we know there are numerous concerns in Galway over this massive solar panel farm expansion. There are worries over biodiversity loss, the visual impact, the safety risk from the batteries. Do you discount all of those fears?
I think all of them can be mitigated, Claire. So that's not about saying that you'll never have something that goes wrong with these things. But we've got to remember that this is a technology that is picking up pace hugely across the world. So China's output of solar panels has allowed them to become much cheaper. The cost has collapsed by about two thirds within the past decade. And it's coming out as being the clear, cheaper energy option in a world, in fact, a week, where we're seeing energy prices surge quite a bit higher. So this is a technology that I think we have to get on board with, and we have to find a way to live with, as opposed to oppose outright.
So, Brendan, we have no choice. Given where we are in the world with international events, we have to get on board the solar panel train.
Hi, Claire. Good morning. And thank you for the opportunity to discuss this further. And actually, on the back of David's article in yesterday's Independent. So AMAS, we're not anti-renewables. We want clean energy, but we want a clean energy strategy. So what we're fighting here is the imposition of unregulated industrial solar with massive battery installations beside homes, schools and farms with no safety standards, no emergency plans and no regulations. And this is our fundamental stand that we've been working on since June of last year. Mm-hmm. So it'll be quite difficult to distill a year's work into the next couple of minutes.
No, I understand that.
We'll do our best to get that.
But given your answer there, it would appear that it's the safety concerns, in particular the fire hazards, that are foremost right in your mind. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely, Claire. It is foremost in our minds. And if I could take you back to 13 months ago, there was a small but serious battery incident fire in Clare, Galway. Clare, Galway is approximately 20 minutes from Galway City. And in that fire, there was up to 1,700 people evacuated from the area. That's schools, pupils, residences, businesses. And unfortunately, as a result of that fire, there are still three firefighters that were hospitalized, that are still unable to return to work because of the illnesses that they've contacted since that fire.
Now, so, David's point, though, in the piece yesterday, and David, you can make this point yourself. You're saying that you need to have a plan in place to deal with these incidents as they come up. Once you have a plan in place, the fire and the fallout from a fire, if it does happen, will be contained. David.
Yeah. So, some of the language that's been used around these fires, not by Brendan, in fairness to him, but elsewhere, has been to kind of liken it to a kind of Chernobyl like risk. But actually, you've got to weigh this up against fossil fuels. When we burn fossil fuels, we get an absolute certainty of pollution to the air and the wider environment. And that might not be in Ireland, because we tend to burn some of the stuff elsewhere. But look, the point is that you get a certainty there. But with the battery stuff, well, we need to get an assessment. So how likely is a battery fire within the lifetime of any one of these units? And I would rate it as being incredibly low. The battery technology is only getting better. You have a whole bunch of different companies, even Elon Musk, Tesla now, are getting on the battery building craze, because they see that it is absolutely the best way to go and the best technology. And look, we've batteries everywhere. We've batteries in our laptops, in our phones, in our cars increasingly because of EVs. And I think that we're getting by without major risk in those technologies. So the larger scale stuff, I think we'll find a way. I think things like proper site access for firefighters and having right procedures is an essential. And I think there are concerns that the group AMAS have raised that are worth taking on board. But once you get over those and get proper plans in place, these kinds of large scale industrial solar plants, I believe, need to go ahead.
The visual impact of this, you discount that as well, David, because you say your sympathy wanes when you realise that the height of these panels will be 3 metres off the ground, which when you think about it is pretty significant. So you think that they've no right to complain about that either?
I think if you compare it to the likes of a wind farm, which goes up to around 100 metres high, and there's been plenty of successful objections to those nationwide by that idea of a visual impact, 3 metres high, like this is a thing, again, that could be mitigated. So if you can build hedgerows, and I'd be open to a system where if a big plant goes in that and there's a lot of visual surround, that developers would actually fund that to put in shrubbery and ways to actually mitigate the visual
impact. Brendan, what do you say to that? Build a hedge.
I wish it was that simple, Claire. I don't know if David has been in East Galway lately, but we're famous for our stone walls here in Galway, so building hedges is not the answer. And I think when you look at the scale of the proposal here, we're looking at 900 acres of solar glass, that's black glass, covering some of the most beautiful landscape and arable landscape here in East Galway. You're looking at a battery energy storage system and a substation that will approximately be 40-foot container size battery energy storage compartments. That's the scale of what we're dealing with here. 900 acres is approximately 280 crop parks. That's the size and the scale of what we're dealing with here. And if we want a plan. We want, and we've always wanted a plan, and we've asked those questions from day one. So what have we learned from Clare Galway 13 months ago? What plans have the government agencies put in place for these type of battery energy storage facilities? None. I can tell you now, and David, if you know something different, please share it. But I can tell you, we've written to 13 different government agencies, HSA, HSE, all of them. Nobody has a plan for industrial scale operations like this.
I mean, that is a big blank space, David, if that is the case.
Well, firstly, I actually have relatives in East Galway, so I have been there and I've seen the lovely countryside, and I think it will continue to be a lovely countryside. As far as the plan goes, I mean, like this is something that can absolutely be overcome. I mean, the fact that Clare Galway Fire was put out, that is a sign that they get these things under control. But again, how frequent are they?
And it these things burn days on end, and then you've got the pollutants that that go into our water systems. You've multiple different issues with these. Without a plan, without a clear plan for multiple different government agencies, how as a community can we stand by and let this happen on our doorstep? And if you want meaningful consultation, Park Capital Renewable Energy, which are the company behind this, which are actually owned by a private equity company in France called Omnis Capital. So all of the energy is going to be created from these plants. The consumers, of which there are over 300,000 people that are in arrears with their energy bills, they're not going to get cheaper electricity, David. And it will feed data centers. That's where the energy is going to go for these things. Like, let's bring that out into the open for what it is. We're not anti-renewables. We want public safety, proper regulations, and proper consultation. Power Capital Renewable Energy have had one public consultation with the community since last June. Mm-hmm. I live 100 metres, Claire, from the proposed site across my front garden. 100 metres. And I've not had still one semblance of letter, phone call or conversation with Power Capital Renewable Energy since last June.
Okay,
that's why we had to take this up ourselves.
There's a lot there, Brendan, in what you've said. So there's the lack of consultation, but also the
correct
ultimate aim, David, and you address this in your article, that we need to be less reliant on fossil fuels coming from outside of this country. But if this power is purely going to data centres in Ireland, where is the win other than keeping multinationals sweet?
I think it's worth looking at what the German solar industry have estimated. They estimate that by 2030, at the pace of rollout that has been happening for solar there, that they can take around 15-20% off the wholesale electricity price. Now, that would be, I think, very welcome at this time, where bills are, of course, going up. And look, in 5-10 years' time, they could be so much higher because of where fossil fuels are going that they'll go higher, and then we take them a little bit lower again with the renewables. It's going to be this constant battle. It's going to be this absolute constant battle, and we're probably never going to get fully away from the fossil fuels. But when you look at what countries globally are doing, and yes, obviously it's sunny places are going there first, like Chile, Texas, California. But even though Ireland has about half of the yield from solar as versus these other countries, it's now becoming economical, and it's becoming economical without any capital subsidy. Like, I know you get, you know, if you put solar panels on your own roof, you get a capital grant for it. But when these industrial large guys go to build, they actually don't get subsidy on the bill. Now, they do on the price, to the tune of, I've looked at numbers, it looks around like 20% subsidy. But again, you fast forward where this tech is going, the price of the panels just keeps collapsing. Mm. And we're going to get to a point where it's going to be possibly the only game in town, the only clear way to actually get meaningful and relatively rapid cheaper energy. Like, I'd love to see nuclear come on board in Ireland, but like, you're going to be years in the system actually getting over that hurdle.
Eamon Ryan was talking to Anton about that this morning, and he always makes the point that it is outrageously expensive to go down that road, even if you agreed with it. But with Brendan on the line here, talking to you, David, who is 100 metres away from this expansion of the solar farm, sell it to him. Like, why should Brendan stand back and say, okay, off you go, put what you want there?
Well, I think what matters is about distance. I mean, I do think that they should be kept a certain distance from major roadways and major houses. I'm happy to admit that that should be the case, and there should be something in planning to allow for that kind of mitigation. And again, for things like hedgerows to get rid of too. But like movements like this, you know, there's a reason why Amass has the middle A in it. It is the word against, and it is about being against these things in their entirety. Like, I mean, like the phrasing I can see from back in October from this group is, quote, rural Ireland has been carved up and vandalized. Like, you know, this is the kind of stuff that will lead to no panels being put anywhere unless it's, you know, like 10 kilometers away from someone's home.
Brendan, what do you say?
That's not the case. No, absolutely not. We are absolutely not against it. But what we are against is 100 meters, no consultation, no planning, no safety, no regulations, and nobody actually taking it as a project. Like, it could be something that we could be proud of in Galway. And it's not just this project. We've got another one in very close to us in Craigmore, which, again, David, some of your colleagues in the Irish Independent have highlighted that and what's happened to the Craigmore community and the impact that's had on them. It's also Power Capital Renewable Energy. It's the same company. They're planning another one in Moy Villa, which is very close to us here also as well. East Galway is becoming the dumping ground, potentially, for solar sprawl. There are better places for it. We can put it in roofs. We're happy to put it in fields, but on brownfield sites. We can put it on car parks. We can put it in OPW sites. We can put it anywhere. But why? Without consultation, proper planning, proper safety standards, would you put it on arable food producing land and carving up? That's the vandalization. The vandalization on top of vandalism. We've had, and Garda Síochána have had multiple incidents where they've had to go out and investigate. Signs were torn down. People have trespassed onto people's properties to pull down signs. Like, this is a divided community. People don't see that when they read articles. And that's the devastating part of it, where you've got a local community that's just been shredded because of this type of project.
Well, David, listening to that, do you agree that there must be a better way to do this so that you can bring people along with you? I mean, a listener suggests the government rolling out a programme whereby every farmer is entitled to 2 acres of solar and let the income from that be tax-free.
Yeah, I mean, look, like everything that gets mentioned here, like putting on rooftops, absolutely agree. If we did nuclear, if we did more exploration for fossil fuels, I would agree. Like, all of that will help. But you can't go away from the fact that you get scale with larger developments of solar. Yes, of course, there's larger developers that get involved with that. But it makes a chunk at managing electricity bills. And look, as far as things about how these particular developments, you know, how the developers behaved and all of that, like, I mean, I can't speak to any of that. I'm looking at the larger national level picture here, which is that we have to find places for this to go. And to say it's a dumping ground, I mean, like, where in Ireland are you going to find fields that don't aren't part of someone's vantage point. Because the way Ireland has developed over the centuries even is that we have a huge amount of population sprawl that people have chosen to settle quite dispersely across the land. And there probably isn't a site that doesn't have someone's vantage point as part of it. And the point about it being arable land, you can still graze sheep beneath the panels. And there is also potential wild growth that can go below the panels that enables biodiversity. It doesn't actually destroy it.
We're going to leave that one there, but I think it's something that we will be coming back to. So I want to thank you both, Brendan Cronin, Chairman of AMAS, and David W. Higgins, Independent Economist.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.